Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and Vice President of Athlete Relations, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, and Jim couldn't land me in a thousand years.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
As a gay man, I'm horrified. As a friend of Angela's, horrified. As a lover of elegant weddings, I'm a little excited.
Every week we get together to talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week we'll be doing a Talking Heads fantasy draft. We'll each be picking five of our favorite Talking Heads scenes from The Office.
Also known as confessionals.
Yes. And then we'll head to the conference room for some Cry Man Squad FNC double time. For some current news, and then we'll finish up with some listener provided trivia sent to us by Bryn. Thank you, Bryn. But guys, I think we don't have any housekeeping. Let's get right into this.
A little housekeeping as always. Just shouting out our tots, our beautiful, beautiful tots over there on the Patreon, supporting us. $5 a month, guys. Ad free episodes, exclusive monthly mailbag hangout episode with the three of us. Voting on upcoming episodes, bonus archival exclusive episodes. I mean, you'd think I'd be bringing another price tiers, but I'm not. I'm saying $5, all that. Go get it.
Don't forget Biscuits with the Boss season 2.
That's yes. Right. If you're a Ted Lasso fan, check us out on Patreon. We did a Ted Lasso season 2 podcast exclusive for our Scott's Tots. So join us, have some fun with us. We do fun stuff like this all the time. It is kind of more of a casual episode, this format. Shout out to All Fantasy Everything for inventing this format.
We're parting the sea to allow us to do a draft like this as we follow their basic format. You know, why fix what ain't broke? You know, they did it right. We pay homage.
So we'll be playing some rock, paper, scissors to determine the order of this draft. We'll be each picking one at a time our favorite Talking Heads moments, and we'll see who has the best collection of Talking Heads moments. I'm excited.
I think of all the drafts, you know, we've done a number of drafts over the years. We try not to do them too close to each other, just for the sake of keeping them fresh and keeping them as a different sort of flavor to our normal episodes week to week. But I think with this particular topic, the Talking Head, I think something that's so signature to The Office, something that has been requested, something that I'm really excited to dig into because it's such a iconic, memorable feature from the show.
Well, we just had our documentary episode, and we talked about the Talking Head specifically. It's this, you know, a new thing for the sitcom to be able to break that fourth wall and have the characters talking directly, uninterrupted, to the audience. And so it's unique to the show, and there's so many great moments to choose from.
It's crazy that I was thinking we could just, like, you could do... We could do just draft episodes just for The Office. I feel like there's so many forever ways to take the format. Like in the future, we would want to do cringe moment drafts at some point. I know we did the cold open draft. Did we do a prank draft? Or am I just mixing that with cold opens?
I don't remember at this point.
I don't remember right now.
I don't even know if we've done a prank draft.
We've
or not.
Done some drafts only for Patreon too. So
when we get up to 15 episodes of this show, we can do 15 draft episodes of this show. We can draft our own draft episodes.
Oh good. Yeah, a lot of people want us to do a drop draft.
Let's call it 18, so we can have some honorable mentions. Mm-hmm.
Deal. Yeah.
But let's move on. Let's move on to the draft.
Let's get into this. Okay, to move things along, we're going to just do a rock, paper, scissors just between Alex and Edwin. Whoever wins will determine the order of this draft. All right, guys, here we go. On three, or on rock, paper, scissors, go, right? Rock, paper, scissors, go.
Wait.
This is so hard to do.
You just said it twice. You didn't count it down.
Give us a ready, set, and then say rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay.
We'll shoot. Okay.
Ready, set, rock, paper, scissors, shoot. All right. That's paper against scissors. Edwin threw scissors.
Woo.
Edwin gets to determine the order of the draft.
Okay. I will be going, so we're going to serpentine, which means if you go first in the first round, you go second, or you go last in the second round. With that said, I will be going first. We'll have Sean go second and Alex will go third.
Very nice. Very nice.
I love back-to-back picks.
I know you do. I know you do. And I really thought about putting you in the middle just because of that. In one of our earlier draft episodes, you're like, it's difficult being in the middle and having to wait, you know, having two picks go. But
all right,
you're welcome.
So, all right, so this is it. Here we go. Edwin, what is your first pick?
All right, with the number one overall pick in the Talking Heads draft, I am taking Pam's Talking Head from The End of the Job.
Jim asks her to dinner, mm-hmm. right? Oh, yeah. Man, that's a legendary moment. Damn, mm-hmm. That was on my
legend.
List.
Yep, that was on my list. Sure. Okay, I'm already feeling like my list is going to be so whittled down by the end. They're all going to get picked.
I mean, there's so many iconic talking heads.
There's a lot. But talk us through this one. I know we just did the job, but why is this the first pick?
I think this moment is such a defining moment in the entire series. It's one that we went into in great detail on our episode about the job just a couple weeks ago. I can read it to you. I haven't heard anything, but I bet Jim got the job. I mean, why wouldn't he? He's totally qualified and smart, and everyone loves him. And if he never comes back again, that's okay. We're friends, and I'm sure we'll stay friends. We never got the timing right, you know? I shot him down, and then he did the same to me. And you know what? It's okay. I'm totally fine. Everything is going to be totally. And then Jim walks in and asks her to dinner. And I think that moment, it's kind of jarring because the talking head is interrupted with the door opening. And in a way that I think utilizes the documentary format really well. It's a moment that we as viewers have been waiting for the first three seasons. And in this moment where we almost felt like a sense of peace, knowing that Pam was, you know, feeling okay, or that she might be okay with Jim moving on, to see him come back and re-enter the scene, was just such a magical moment in the show.
Really is. It's truly one of the most cathartic moments we have. And we've talked about it at length, but boy, oh boy, what a great. That's a blue chip first pick.
Mm-hmm.
It's the pantheon of office moments.
It's a great talking head, too, because it does, you know, it's action packed in the world of talking heads, right? Like,
yes.
Talking heads normally aren't interrupted and the camera whips over to the door and we get.
And not just interrupted, like interrupted by the most tense, palpable thing that the viewers have wanted for three seasons.
Mm-hmm. And
it happens.
And that's exactly, and it's like exactly at that moment, she's like, you know, maybe it'll work out someday. And
The best talking heads are the ones that also act as voiceovers. So they begin as talking heads and they're like other scenes play out on screen while the character is kind of narrating them. That's what I kind of found trying to prepare for this episode.
Mm.
And at first I wasn't sure if I should say that to like not let you guys in on what I'm thinking, but I also want to get in your heads and make you question your pick.
Well then, don't you worry about that, Edwin, because I think it's time for my pick. And, I am unwavering. I knew I was going to pick this first. It's when Michael Scott explains how he grilled his foot.
Yes.
In the injury. I enjoy having breakfast in bed. I like waking up to the smell of bacon. Sue me.
One of several talking heads where Michael says, sue me.
Yeah. He is pissed at the moment the interview starts that people are so like curious about this and so like amazed by this. I love it. He comes in so hot. Then I wake up to the smell of crackling bacon. It is delicious. It's good for me. It's the perfect way to start the day. Today I got up, I stepped onto the grill, clamped onto my foot. That's it. I don't see what's so hard to believe about that. And just the way he puts the bubble wrapped
foot on the table.
Yeah. Comes into frame. It's
like it's
perfect.
Right out of the Amazon box, ready to go. Yeah.
It's perfect. Written by Mindy Kaling, that episode, which we just had our Kelly episode. A perfect joke.
It's a great, there's a lot of Michael Scott talking heads where it's really funny when they start and it feels like he's already been talking for a couple minutes and they're just catching him mid-sentence.
Yeah.
And he's already pissed or he's you can almost hear the question he was asked without hearing it.
Yes.
And he's already just like into it. he does such a good job with that, the stuff we don't see in a way, just in those small character moments. Good stuff. Are you tracking these down? I did
just think that, and I'm starting it now.
We're a well-oiled machine.
We got Edwin with
we're a well bacon greased machine.
Okay.
That's right. Well grilled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it is time for Alex's pick. First pick.
And second. And
that's right.
I'm going to take a fan favorite. I'm going to take a crowd pleaser and just get this off the board, which is from Frame Toby. And it is, of course, Dwight describing the perfect crime, the chandelier.
Ah!
Now, this was also taken.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. This was also taken in our tag draft, I believe, that we did for our Patreon.
Of course.
Members, and I knew it had to happen again here. I'm not going to do the whole thing because it's quite long.
Yeah,
that's what she said.
So good.
But look it up on YouTube. You'll really enjoy it. That's what she said. And it's a lot of real estate for a talking head. They give Rainn Wilson a lot of screen time, and he makes every second count by describing this movie that basically is what he's describing. Breaking into Tiffany's at midnight. A lover, an international mystery, intrigue. It's got everything. Just in one little bite-sized talking head with Dwight.
Plus, I like the cold.
Yeah, there's little details in there. I don't trust her.
Yeah. She's been waiting all these years, saving herself.
I have a son. He's the chief of police at 30 years old. anyway, getting that off the board. Frame Toby. The chandelier.
A good pick.
Okay.
A heavy hitter.
Heavy hitter. Needed it. Wanted it. I need that footage. Want it. Okay. This might be too high for this, but I gotta have it. From Goodbye Michael, it's almost a two-parter, but if I have to specifically choose one, it's Michael reacting to Oscar accepting his doll.
Oh.
It's one of my favorite talking heads ever in the show, and it's just the way Michael is laughing when he goes into it, and he just accepted it.
He has the lowest opinion of me.
Oh my god, he's laughing the whole time, and it's on top of it's just a very funny moment, but it's almost like this payback after 7 seasons of like, hey, look, Michael's being self-aware. Hey, look, Michael pulled a joke on Oscar, who didn't even get it because he's Oscar. Like, there's a redemptive quality to this talking head that gives it the bonus points that I needed to draft it second.
It's a great
it's a good
pick.
One. It's a very, very good
very
pick.
Good pick.
Thanks.
All righty. For my second pick, I am going to go with Creed.
Oh, that's all, it's all inclusive.
All of them? All inclusive?
And that's all inclusive. I'm going to go with Creed. Like, if I can't scuba, then what's this all been about? What am I working for?
Short and sweet.
It's short and sweet. It's one of my all-time favorites. I mean, there's some other great Creed short and sweet talking heads, but if I can't scuba, is just iconic to me.
It is.
Yeah.
He's never owned a refrigerator. What's this all been about?
Let's no more picks.
Imagine that. I imagine that so much of Creed's lifestyle contributes to the fact that he's gearing up to scuba.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why are you here?
I mean, we know that maybe he's. We kind of learn later that he's after the Loch Ness monster, who he thinks is a male. You know, which I think goes against the legend, but anyways.
Oh, right, yeah, right.
Who's your worm guy?
Anyways, there you
the
go.
The guy was just hanging grain. I mean, what's all the fuss?
There you go. That's my pick. If Creed can't scuba, Edwin, what is your second and third pick?
Okay, so I'm taking this... I'm really glad this fell to me again, because
I'm really happy for you.
Where this is going.
I could have taken this much later, but I wanted to take it because it's a perfect successor to, or a perfect complement to the first pick, which was the Talking Head at the End of the Job. So I'm going to take the Talking Head at the End of Gay Witch Hunt, first episode of season 3. This is right after the kiss scene between Michael and Oscar, and then when Dwight gets up to try to do it as well. Mm-hmm. Michael says, "We're not in the playground anymore. There are new rules. We have to be mature. But we can't lose the spirit of childlike wonder. What is love, anyway? Maybe it's supposed to break all the rules. Like me and Jan. Or Oscar and some guy. Life is short. When two people find each other, what should stand in their way?" And then what you see on screen is the Diversity Day initiative being done in Stanford and Jim sitting next to an empty chair. And... Michael continues to say, "I'm glad that today spurred social." I mean, this is—he's kind of getting up. The camera's still with him, so I don't know if this counts. You tell me. But he says, "I'm glad that today spurred social change. That's part of my job as regional manager. But you know what? Even if it didn't, at least we put the matter to bed." That's what she said, or he said,
or he said.
And then he says, "Oh, there's Gil, Oscar's roommate. I wonder if he knows." So
that's it. That's the one.
So it's funny. It's
also a tucking head with some action, looking out the blinds. Yeah,
the city. Well, it's funny, it's sentimental, and then it's funny again. And it also sets up the entire season where we have this open-ended question of Jim and Pam being far away. When two people find each other, what should keep them apart? Or what should stand in their way? And then by the end of the season, they are kind of reunited in a way. So I wanted to take those two. I'm glad I got to take those back-to-back because I wanted them to complement each other.
Very nice.
Great pick.
Thank you. I think so as well.
Sorry. Did you picked a second one just now? You picked your third one?
That was my second pick.
Okay, that was your second one. Okay.
All right, so this next one is the first pick in round 3.
Correct.
And it comes from Koi Pond in season 6. I think a spiritual successor to The Perfect Crime, just in terms of Dwight talking to himself, he says, "Jim is my enemy. But it turns out that Jim is also his own worst enemy. And the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So Jim is actually my friend. But because he is his own worst enemy, the enemy of my enemy is my enemy. So actually Jim is my enemy. But..." And then it cuts away.
But... Hours later, he's still going.
I love the circular logic. I love Dwight talking to himself. I love the camera deciding they've had enough and just leaving him be. After two that were kind of sentimental, I wanted the funnier pick.
That's fabulous. That's a great Dwight one. I let's see here. Okay, so two great picks from Edwin, Michael, and Dwight. I am going to go with a Michael quote. Gosh. And I don't know. I'm trying to just figure out what episode it's from. Help me out here. But would I rather be feared or loved? Easy. Both. I want people to fear how much they love me. Which episode is that from?
To be afraid of how much they love me.
To be afraid of how much they love me.
I mean, it's pretty early in the show. I think
I'll find it. But anyways,
it's from the fight.
I think this is
from the fight.
It's one of the all-time great Michael Scott quotes. And, like, I think going back through a lot of these talking heads, I kind of feel a little desensitized to quotes like this, just because it's like, now you see this crocheted on a thing for people's bathrooms on Etsy and stuff like that. It's such a famous quote from the show, but this is one of the quotes that made me fall in love with The Office. So I just think it's so funny and perfectly written that
in the early seasons of The Office, as like I think the show is still kind of establishing itself, there are so many talking heads, and it almost feels like the show is talking to itself. Like, you give these characters, like Dwight and Michael specifically, time alone in a room to just kind of talk to the camera, and they kind of show you who they are, instead of demonstrating who they are in different scenes. Like, we get real insight into what they're thinking and how they're feeling. And this is a really good one where we get to see, like, the way that Michael's brain works, and the way that he misreads things like puns and to come up with his turns of phrase. This is not from a talking head, but he says... there's another one where he says, sometimes the ends justify the mean. So, like, love the way that he can take those turns of phrase, and this is a really good one from early in the show.
Your pick, too, with Dwight does that a lot, where you're just letting the guy go and see what he does, and you learn a lot about him by just not interrupting, for sure. A lot of the early Michael Scott ones are like that because he hasn't had a camera on him for years yet, and he's still feeling the need to describe who he is to the camera. So there's a lot of early Office or early like season one, season two that are really great and a much more downplayed. Where are we at? Is it?
It is time for Alex's
third pick,
third and fourth pick.
Okay, so I'm just taking ones that make me laugh. Nice. Pretty much the rest of the time. Starting with season 5, episode 13, Stress Relief. This is coming from Andy. It's not a long one. Just makes me laugh. I'm not insightful enough to be a movie critic. Maybe I could be a food critic. These muffins taste bad. Or an art critic. That painting is bad. Just perfect Andy.
Andy. I love that one.
Funny. I don't know. It just makes me laugh the way he pauses. There's just sometimes Andy Bernard kind of gets this thing going that always makes me laugh.
Feel like he does. Lacrimose.
Yeah. Speaking of, we had someone write in because a couple episodes ago, I was trying to think of the moment when Andy's got his head all the way to the side.
Mm-hmm.
One talking head. And he was saying that was during when he was talking about Jim and Pam watching the movie and trying to think like how he I totally didn't catch that.
My lady, my tuna. Damn it.
That's all. That's gonna be my third pick. The Andy as the critic. Followed by my fourth pick, again, quick one, but from season 5. What is this? Episode 9, I believe?
Dr. Levinson, I presume.
The surplus. Kind of a two-parter, but I'm just going to take the first one because it does resolve soon after, which is Michael in the surplus. I hate disappointing just one person, and I really hate disappointing everyone, but I love the Burlington Coat Factory. You go in there with $645, you are literally a king. This one, not only is it just really funny, but it resolves the central tension in this episode, the central plot, which is what's going to happen with the surplus money. And this is just watching this car accident start to happen as Michael realizes what he has and go and get in the coat.
It's great, too, because I think it starts as a voiceover and then he's revealed at the end.
Yes. And then the second part of this one.
Sometimes.
When he's in the coat soon after this and the camera does a double, like it pans back to show the blood after the talking head
that's
started.
It that's it yeah
where he's like, what do we learn today? First, I'm way better at making the office come to quick decisions than I realized.
Mother.
And then he's like, yeah, and if you walk out a Brilliant Coat factory, people will throw fake blood on you. Mother.
It's such a
great
funny,
facial expressions.
It's also just such a funny coat. Like the one that they picked for him.
It's ridiculous that he would wear that out and about. It's insane.
And he also does, there's an element of Michael Scott when he's debuting outfits where he stands. And I think we talked about this in a recent episode where he puts his hands down at his sides. Yes. He does it kind of in the business suit, in the negotiation. Like he has this way of standing that it's almost like
he does.
It's so funny the way that he like draws attention to himself in that pose, and you can just see him doing it in that ridiculous coat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Anyway,
those are my
fabulous picks.
Third and fourth picks, Sean, for you keeping record. You got it.
Okay. I got it. I am going to go with. Oh boy. Okay, I am going to go with a Jan Levinson talking head and I'm going to go with I am taking a calculated risk. What's the upside? I overcome my nausea, nice. Fall deeply in love, babies, normalcy, no more self-loathing. Downside, I date Michael Scott openly and collapsing on myself like a dying star. Why is this so hard? That's what she said. Oh my god. What am I saying? it's
such a good
thing. It's a great moment in like the evolution of the show, I think, too. Like to have Jan give a talking head like that, where she's now comfortable with the camera crew and is opening up to them. And
she's smoking a cigarette in this one too.
Yeah,
right?
She is. That's right.
Like before the cocktail party has even started.
I'm trying to confirm it.
That the word the quote is from? Yeah, it's from Cocktails.
Oh, Cocktails. So, sorry. Okay, got it.
Michael, get your clouds right.
I have a bad apiarist.
So, yeah, that is.
Do it again!
That is my fourth pick. Okay, Edwin, it is time for your fourth and final pick.
Oh, man, okay. So, fourth pick. This one. It comes from the Alliance in season one. It begins with Dwight hiding behind a plant and saying, I have absolutely no idea. To when Roy says, an Alliance, what the hell is he talking about? And then Dwight says, do I feel bad about betraying Jim? Not at all. That's the game. Convince him we're an Alliance. Get some information. Throw him to the wolves. And then cut to Dwight with blonde hair. That's politics, baby. Get what you can out of someone, then crush him. I think Jim might have learned a very valuable lesson. Not only is that just a very funny Dwight talking head with a great cut in the middle, but it's also the very first little bit of The Office that I ever saw. So it's a sentimental pick for me as well. So
easy good. One to nice, take. Nice yeah. pick.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Very nice.
Oh, man, the last one. Now we move on to the very last quote. Okay. I might need to... All right, here it is. It's a very simple quote, but it has a lot going on while the quote is being read. It just says, it's from Classy Christmas, and it's Dwight again, all of my inner Dwight. He says, yes, I have a wig for every single person in the office.
Oh, that was on the amazing. List. That was going to be my last pick.
You never know when you're going to need to bear a passing resemblance to someone.
Should have taken that earlier.
I mean, this is almost, okay, it's definitely a legitimate pick, almost a cheat. Almost a cheat because
throw the flag, Sean.
It's got
throw the
it's
flag.
Got
come on.
All this built-in physical humor of him like whipping around with the different wigs and everything, which isn't.
Yeah, I agree. That's what makes it a great pick.
It's what makes it great. I'm not throwing a flag. I'm just saying. Filthy, dirty move.
It's like taking Kevin Durant and playing him at center or something like that in a fantasy draft. You know.
No, it's a good. It's
I do
legitimate.
Believe I would. I'll have to go back and double check, but I'm pretty sure when I was preparing my list that this one does begin with Dwight talking directly to the camera.
It does.
Not just
it does.
A voiceover,
it does.
So
yes,
yeah. It does. It's legit.
It's legit. It's legit.
Fabulous pick. Oh man. Okay. Well, I just realized this is my final pick, and I just realized that I don't have a Dwight talking head in here. I was getting nervous.
Make that right.
I was getting nervous about my final pick, but it's Dwight, an obvious
Dwight.
One now.
Dwight's right.
It's Dwight explaining that he is like Mozart's friend.
Yeah.
That is my another. That's another like one for like sentimental one for me, I guess, in that like that's when I was falling in love with the show. Like I just always I cracked up at that. And you just see like Rainn Wilson does such a great job as Dwight and kind of like you see him putting it together. He's like he's like Mozart's friend. No. I'm like Butch Cassidy and Michael is like Mozart. You mess with Mozart, you're going to get a bullet in the head, courtesy of Butch Cassidy. It just made me, anyways.
A handful from the early seasons that are so, so defining and so memorable. And that is absolutely one of them. Like that is one of the early, like most identifiable office quotes, I think, along with the other one that you took. From Michael in the fight.
Yes. All right. It is now time for Alex's final pick.
Boy, I've been really torn here between two of them. For the last pick. Hang on. I'm putting them up side by side before I take the...
Take a longer pause before you answer, Bam.
I gotta go with this one, because it's early. This is from the pilot, first episode, and it's Michael Scott again. Most of mine have been him. What is the most important thing for a company? Is it the cash flow? Is it the inventory? Nuh-uh. It's the people. The people. My proudest moment here was not when I increased profits by 17% or when I cut expenses without losing a single employee. No. It was a young Guatemalan guy. First job in the country, barely spoke English, came to me and said, Mr. Scott, would you be the godfather of my child?
Wow. That's...
Didn't work out in the end. We had to let him go. He sucked. It's everything about Michael right there.
The way he goes, wow. That's a very Ricky Gervais. That's a very...
Yeah. I mean, it's like
a thousand guys.
Michael, who's a thousand guys. It's a slightly different Michael, but he's. I mean, it's everything here. He's self-aggrandizing. He's self-reverent at this. He's racist. He's dumb, and he contradicts himself. Like it's everything at once. But he really believes what he's saying is true and good. and this is a blueprint of Michael for a talking head for me. This is in the first episode. And lays the grounds for so much to come. So a lightly sentimental pick from me, but it's funny, but it just gets me. Still makes me laugh every time.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, there you guys have it. We have done our Talking Heads draft.
Give us a recap.
Yeah, let's get some honorable
mentions. We got a lot of honorable mentions.
Yes. Let me break it down here. We got Edwin went first. You had Pam. Jim asks Pam to dinner in the job.
Mm-hmm.
Michael's talking head, just a lot of nonsense about love that ends with, I wonder if Gil knows, from Gay Witch Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Third, you had Dwight explaining that Jim is his own worst enemy, and therefore that he is the enemy of his enemy, and so on and so forth.
But
for your fourth, Dwight... betraying Jim, explaining why he betrayed Jim in the Alliance. And finally, Dwight explaining that he has a wig for everyone in the office from Classic Christmas. That's three Dwights, one Michael and one Pam for Edwin.
Mm.
For me, I went second. I picked Michael, how he grilled his foot in the injury. Creed asking if he can't scuba, well, then what's this all been about? And gossip. Third was Michael, would he rather be feared or loved? Loved easy both from the fight. Jan explaining that she's going to collapse in on herself like a dying star in Cocktails. Mm. And finally, Dwight, is he Mozart's friend or Butch Cassidy? in Office Olympics. That's two Michaels, one Creed, one Jan, and one Dwight. Alex, you went last. You picked Dwight, the perfect crime in Frame Toby. Then you had Michael. Oscar has the lowest opinion of him in Goodbye Michael. Third, you had Andy is not a movie critic in Stress Relief. Fourth, you had
Muffin is bad.
Michael talking about the Burlington Coat Factory and the surplus. And then finally, Michael that he is the godfather of a young Guatemalan employee's son.
The people.
And that is that's three Michaels.
Wow.
One Dwight and one Andy for Alex. And there you have it.
I'm glad you brought, thank you, Sean. I'm glad you brought those numbers up because someone on Reddit, I don't know if you saw this.
I did. Yes.
Took account of every talking head in the office.
Yes.
Of how many overall each character has.
It's up on Dunderpedia.
Broken down by season as well. You know, it's pretty boring to talk about on here, but it's probably worth looking at. It's kind of interesting. Obviously, Michael, Jim, Dwight, Pam are the top four with Andy coming Michael... in that. After those five, who do you think's next?
Ooh.
After Michael, Jim, Dwight, Pam, Andy, who
has Angela.
Oscar.
Next. No. No.
Kevin?
It's Kevin and then Oscar.
Wow.
Angela's down six spots below that. She has only 52 talking heads over nine seasons.
You know what? Now that you say that, Kevin gets a lot of quickies in there.
Kevin has a lot. None of us drafted a Kevin. Is that right?
Not a single one.
And Oscar has a lot where he explains what's going on.
They see. That would have been a good one.
Two thumbs down. Do you like it as much as you like men's butts?
I like tea.
What are some of your honorable mentions?
Who wants to go first?
Should we each? Well, I guess we're not going to draft a sixth man here.
No,
let's just go in order. Go one. We can rotate. Sure. Unless you run out, you know.
All right, we'll go reverse draft order, which means I get to go first. I think the other one I was thinking about taking is from season three from Branch Closing, which is Dwight's. And right now the title of Michael's book is Something Weird Is Going On, : What Did Jan Say? The Michael Scott Story by Michael Scott with Dwight Schrute. That would have been next.
Beautiful.
John, honorable mention? A honorable mention?
Well, I picked out my picks because some of them got picked.
Oh, nice. So you had a lean list, my
friend. I had a very lean list.
Prince Family Paper, other companies.
I'm kicking myself right now that I don't have more. Vikram. But Edwin, what do you got?
The one that came to mind was I don't remember exactly which episode it is, but it's one that I thought of, which it's just Ryan, and Ryan doesn't say anything because it follows a scene where Dwight and Angela are interacting in the kitchen, and Ryan just happens to be there.
Nice, that's a good one.
But what if I'm hungry?
No,
no cookie.
Yeah, and then it just cuts to Ryan, and he just. There's no sound. Yeah, I liked that it was a non-talking head.
I noted that one down as well.
But what if I'm hungry?
I did have one other one. Dwight, it's the opening of season three. Oh, Jim's gone.
Oh, yeah.
False. I do not miss Jim.
How about from Dwight's speech in season two? Just Dwight recapping, I misspelled. In my spelling bee against Raj Patel, I misspelled in front of the entire school. The word. Failure.
It's so good.
just the young Dwight is just funny, man.
It was Beauty the Mailman.
Yeah. I really like that one.
One that I wanted, I thought was worth mentioning. I didn't crack the top five, but it's in the promotion in season six, and it's after What Does a Bean Mean while they're allocating raises, and it's the talking head that features, I think, from left to right, Meredith, Dwight, Oscar, Kevin, and then Creed is standing behind them. So there's like five people in the same talking head, and they're like, it's not that I won't get a raise, it's just that this entire thing is insulting. By the way, I would also like to get a raise. Yeah. And then Dwight says something to the effect of, what does he say, like, it's all Jim's fault. Who said that? It was Creed.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. So just the way that it's framed with all the characters in one talking head, I thought just in terms of its uniqueness, that one would have been a good pick.
That is a very unique talking head. Yeah, I also like, in terms of uniqueness, I love when like a character doesn't normally do a talking head and then all of a sudden they're pulled into the booth. Charles Minor comes to mind. Yes, I'm aware of the effect I have on women.
Yeah. this happens to David Wallace. A lot too. No, yeah. I did not know they were dating.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or are the goat of these someone being pulled into a talking head from the Dundies, the Chili's manager. Huge honorable mention.
Yeah.
For that talking head.
Yep. I was thinking too of Karen Filippelli like seasons later when she's like, why are you singling out my line?
All these years later.
Yeah.
So he finally finished his movie, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Threat level midnight.
She's like out getting groceries or something.
Yeah.
She's like a takeout container. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. It's
you ever
so funny.
Bang a whole bachelorette party, baby? Yeah. Well, there you guys have it. Those are our talking heads.
Stanley's pretzel day talking head.
Can I give you a
see him in line twiddling his fingers?
Can I give you a quick list of just
give us
I have so many more too.
All right, okay, go
Michael.
Ahead.
Michael in his jeans while Pam is talking about Michael's jeans. Dwight talking about his list of his location of all of his weapons in the office while he's showing you the folder with Mr. A knife. It's better to be hurt by someone you know accidentally than someone you don't know on purpose. Toby talking about Michael putting Ryan back in the office. If so, genius.
Nice.
Or Stanley saying, is he some kind of secret genius?
That was on there too.
Sometimes like I say foolish things. The fake brothers.
Oh, I got one.
Go ahead.
Season 6, The Lover, the blind guy, Miss Queasy. The women in my improv class absolutely hate him. Great cut.
The fake brother who steals your blue jeans. And then the last one I have is from season 7, Nepotism. Where Michael talks about how, well, I guess there are two in this one. Number one is like in the season openers, you have a bunch where characters say, what did I do this summer? And they just kind of explain. Michael's is I'm just going to read it to you because I suppose summer had to end sometime. It's sad, though, because I had a great summer. I got West Nile virus, lost a ton of weight. And then it cuts to him drinking a bunch of apple cider out of the trunk of his car. Then I went back to the lake. I stepped on a piece of glass in the parking lot, which hurt. Then that got infected, even though I peed on it. Saw Inception, or at least I dreamt I did. And then later on, Dwight saying, Dwight Schrute, star salesman, beat farmer, bed and breakfast proprietor, aspiring freelance bodyguard. Add to that list, owner of this building, then burn the list.
It's a great period at the end, and burn the list.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect, Dwight. Last ones for me were from Fun Run, Michael saying, is there a God? If not, what are all the churches for? And who is Jesus's dad? And then in Casual Friday, Jim hiding out while all this stuff blows over with Creed playing chess at work. He's winning. I'm describing a dream I had. And then my last one I had was the Michael describing how he got the mysterious suit. And everyone was grabbing him. And it fit. It's really the way he's defending himself.
So it's really bisexual.
Yeah. And it fit.
It is interesting that we didn't. No one picked a Jim talking head. Are there any others that stood out for Jim?
There's a lot of good ones. So many are prank related.
Yeah.
Or, like a lot of Jims are like he's providing some exposition.
Yes.
And there's funny stuff happening while he's saying it.
He's in the scene while it's happening. He's not talking about the scene while it happens.
Right.
I had a
who has two thumbs and hates Todd Packer.
This guy.
Yeah. I feel like that's why we both drafted so many Dwight and Michael moments is they by far have the most just reflective, character-driven talking heads where their talking head is a punchline.
Mm-hmm.
Pam, Jim, Oscar, most other people are just moving the story along in their talking head.
Daryl has a couple good ones. There's one where he talks about teaching Michael the cool phrases.
yeah.
And then also where Daryl is on crutches and he has to explain what happened. And then it cuts to Michael. Hey, Daryl, how's it hanging?
How's it hanging? Kelly talking. Daryl's the most complicated man I've ever met, who says exactly what they're thinking. What kind of game is that?
Robert California has some good ones. But anyway.
Yeah, certainly does.
We could do this
forever. We really could do this forever. But I would love for some of our listeners to send us some of your favorite Talking Head moments. Email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. That is the best way to message us. We'd love to hear some of your favorite moments. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll head to the conference room.
Okay, everybody, listen up. If you are not in that conference room in 2 minutes, I am going to kill you.
In this week's installment of Cry Man Squad, FNC Double Time, we're going to be talking about a movie that released just this past weekend, the first weekend of May 2022. So if you worried about spoilers in this particular movie from this major motion picture studio, specifically a Marvel movie, you should skip forward to avoid that. And maybe we can throw in the show notes, how far or exactly what time stamp to skip forward so that you avoid this. But
we want to be sensitive.
In Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which released just this past weekend, neither of you guys have seen this movie, correct?
Right. And probably never will, to be honest.
Wait, let me put one of these in just so people are really sure.
Warning!
Okay.
Go ahead. Talk about Marvel content.
All right. Spoilers are going to be flying at this point.
Abound.
So, yeah. I'm glad that you guys haven't seen it and haven't.
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
Yeah. I'm glad that you guys haven't seen it because I get to tell you. And I'm also glad that you don't care because I get to spoil it for you. But in Doctor Strange, in the Multiverse of Madness, they obviously have to, they're in a bunch of different universes, different realities and dimensions as that goes. And they go to one universe that is different from Earth, different from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And they meet this group of people called the Illuminati. And on the Illuminati is John Krasinski as Reed Richards, the leader of the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
In a multiversal, different reality, John Krasinski shows up. John Krasinski had been long rumored to be cast as Reed Richards. It had been a rumor that maybe he and Emily Blunt would take on the roles of Reed Richards and Sue Storm.
Is Reed Richards the stretchy dude?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mr. Fantastic. Yeah.
Wow,
you guys are experts. You guys are experts. I can see.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So this is the first time an office actor has been in a Marvel movie.
I don't know if I would go that far. James Spader was the voice of Ultron in Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Okay.
This is definitely.
Is Idris Elba a Marvel character? I feel like
he plays. Idris Elba is Heimdall.
I didn't even know that.
He's Heimdall. He operates the Rainbow Bridge.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Like I said, you guys are experts. So
I guess so.
He operates the Rainbow Bridge, Sean.
Mm-hmm. Hmm? Rainbow Road? Super Mario Kart?
You got it. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I know it. In 64. Right.
But I will tell you, and again, because you guys don't really care about seeing this movie, that John Krasinski is introduced as Reed Richards, and then a few minutes later, he's killed in a really dramatic way. Yeah. Actually, you actually might enjoy this one a lot more than a lot of the other Marvel movies. Okay. This is by far one of the more unique ones. Sam Raimi is the director, and it feels very Sam Raimi. Like, there's a lot of horror elements to it, and it's really, really fun, and you can tell that he's the director. His style gets to come through in a lot of ways.
Awesome.
How much of it is Benedict Cumberbatch dancing in front of a green screen?
It's not so much dancing as it is moving his hands in circles, but I know what you're
talking
about.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. As a big Marvel fan, I mean, you guys know this. I'm a huge Marvel nerd. I love all those movies. I actually really love the Fantastic Four as well in the comic books. So it was really cool to see Reed Richards finally introduced. And the way they killed him off and some of the other Illuminati characters is one of the most fun and frustrating things about reading comic books and being a nerd about that, because on one hand, like, you like how brutal they're being, similar to The Boys or Invincible, mm-hmm. superhero shows where they get really brutal and kill people off, but at the same time you're kind of frustrated. We're like, no, they couldn't do that. They would use this power to counter that and yeah. do that. So sure. it's yeah. like one of the fun yeah. and frustrating, super nerdy things about reading these comic books. But it was a fun thing to see John Krasinski awesome. Crossover and explain something to another character, very similar to the way that
sure.
Jim has to explain things to Michael. And Reed Richards is the smartest man in the world. That's kind of one of his also sort of powers. So,
okay. I was wondering, because I was like, I would have cast Zach Woods over Jim for going. Like, give me Gabe over Jim for Mr. Fantastic.
I don't know. I think Gabe would be in more of a skeleton man kind of role, don't you think?
Yeah.
Ghost Rider, perhaps. Get out, skeleton man.
Yeah, Ghost Rider, perhaps.
You could do like Gabe, and then Kevin could be, who's the big rock guy in the Fantastic Four?
Yeah. Ben Grimm. Yeah.
Yeah, get Kevin as that guy, and yeah, it could work out.
Kevin Malone saying it's clobbering time. That would be great. Yeah.
It's clobbering time.
Yeah.
That was
clobbering
good.
Time.
Who'd be the Human Flame?
Human Torch.
Andy?
Come on.
Human Torch.
It would be Andy.
I think Andy would be the Human Torch.
That's really funny.
Sorry, Human Flame. I really don't know. I'm way out of my depth.
And then maybe for the Invisible Woman, Sue Storm, it could be Michael's fake girlfriend, Tara.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Of Tara, yeah. But anyway, I had to mention it because it seems so timely and so... And it was such a big surprise and a really fun thing to watch in the movie. And awesome. Because of the directorial style, maybe you guys would enjoy it. So give it a chance.
Okay, all
what
right.
What a delight.
Mm-hmm. All right, this could
what
be it.
What a delight. You know, it's seeing those little pieces of The Office and other thing is always so fun. I had that. I think I brought this up on the show before, but in researching this, none of us took Hide's talking head about his Yakuza boss.
Oh, I forgot
pass,
about
killing Daryl just standing right behind him.
Yeah, with Daryl's. I mean, it's we took it in the tag draft. Anyway, that just reminded me. There's a video game called Cyberpunk 2077, and in that game, while you're out exploring the city, which is a massive, massive world, there's just one guy down a street you talk to. And he just, the dialogue is that exact scene. He gives you Hide's backstory. And that happened to me while I was playing. And it was just like, oh, it was like that, that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood meme of Leo pointing at the TV. Yeah.
With the beard.
that's when you see Office stuff and other things.
Yep. All right. Anyway. Well, fabulous. All right, guys, let's wrap it up with a little trivia.
Stew it like a stew.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Okay, fellas, today's trivia comes to us from Bryn. How's my favorite podcast doing? I've been working on another trivia for you all, so I hope you like it. I think I found a few that will stump you. Question number one. Who is Dwight's ideal assistant to the regional manager, and what are the three reasons he says he can't do the job?
This is very fitting as it's in a talking head. It's Jack Bauer.
That's right.
Overqualified, not available, fictional.
That's right. Question two. What is Philip Lipton's middle name?
Robert?
Nope.
Is it a weird long name?
It's a weird name. It's a very Ivy League-y.
Yeah, name. it's like Creighton or like...
It's Holstead.
Okay.
Holstead, yeah.
Question three, when Jim lies about jury duty and Andy helps him cover it up, which fictional character does Andy say he isn't?
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, when Jim lies about jury duty and Andy helps him cover it up, which fictional character does Andy say that Andy is not?
Is there like... I don't understand.
I'm not
this
blank.
Question's hard.
I'm not blank, Jim.
Oh.
I'm not blank. I can't keep up for all of your crap. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Yes.
Is the full line there?
I'm not blank, Jim. I can't keep blanking out of your blank.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
I know, something about teleporting. I don't know.
I'm not Rumpelstiltskin, Jim. I can't keep spinning gold out of your shit.
Yeah, I got it. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Question four. What is the name of Dunder Mifflin's chief legal counsel in the deposition?
Oh.
It's a woman.
I can't think of it.
I got nothing.
Let's say either Catherine or Julie.
Kathy.
Or Julie.
Diane Kelly.
Okay.
In business school.
Diane.
In business school, Michael says America is facing five Goliaths. Mm-hmm. What are the four Goliaths that he names?
Terrorism.
Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda, yes.
Mercury poisoning.
Yes.
Sex predators.
Yes. There's just one more.
Obesity?
It's global warming.
Global warming.
Oh, global warming. Good guess, Edwin.
There are 10 questions. We're on question 6. Where did Pam and Roy get coffee after Roy tried to punch Jim?
Ooh, Happy Fox Family Restaurant. Or Happy Fox Chinese Restaurant.
It's Hungry Fox.
Hungry Fox.
Family Restaurant. Amazing, though. Yeah. Amazing.
Dude, watching an artist at work is special. It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, that's what I am. I agree.
He's nice with it. He's nice with it.
Why didn't any of you come to my art show?
In the cold open for Women's Appreciation, Dwight gives Jim a demerit for being late. He then explains what the consequences, ending in a disciplinary review. What are the steps to get a disciplinary review?
Oh, like how many demerits?
It's like three demerits lead to this.
I mean, I just...
Three demerits lead to a referral. You're right.
Three demerits is a citation.
Yes, okay, that's the first part.
And then it's five citations is a... infraction?
A violation.
A violation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and then four violations is
a disciplinary report on the desk of my immediate supervisor,
You jump to the end. Okay.
There's a verbal warning.
There's a verbal warning. Few of those equals a written warning. Mm-hmm. Two written warnings equals a disciplinary review given to Dwight's direct superior.
Which is me.
Which is Jim.
And I need that on my desk or you're going to be given a full disadulation.
Perfect. Okay, guys. Question 8. In Moroccan Christmas, when Michael is taking Meredith to the rehab, she mentions 7 bars. That they could go after pass poor Richards. What bars does she mention? How many of these can you name?
Poor Richards.
All I know is I think she says Cooper's.
Cooper's is one, yes.
Poor Richards?
She doesn't even mention Poor Richard.
There's one that's like Ryan's or Kelly's or Shannon's.
Kelly's, like that. Yes.
Okay, Kelly's.
Okay, I'm gonna give you the rest. Sure. So you got Cooper's, Kelly's, The Bog, Brix's, Carmen's, The Fort, or Andy Gavin's.
Okay.
All right.
Jeez, that's tough.
Question number 9. What is Andy's grandma's name? He calls her
Gam Gam.
Gam Gam. Do you know what her name is?
I don't know.
Ruth. Barbara.
Ruth.
Ruth.
And finally, in Tallahassee, what are Anderson's 3 pillars of retail and what does Dwight say they are?
Okay, one is building loyalty and killing royalty.
Yes.
One is service and one is servants?
Yes. He says it's like burgers. Customer service.
Oh, yeah.
Burgers instead of service.
Okay, and then what are the 3 pillars of retail?
Is the other pillar is convenience?
Convenience, yes. Oh, yeah. And what is
Ingredients. Okay.
Yes. Nice. So the 3 pillars are convenience, service, and customer loyalty. And Dwight thinks they are ingredients, burgers, and killing royalty. All right, awesome. Bryn, thank you so much. Bryn says, get out, Skeleton Man. Bryn, thank you so much. If you have trivia that you would like to send us and try and stump us, email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. Emailing us is the best way to send us a question or a comment in general. You can also call us at 503-694-9314 and leave us a voicemail. We're on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. We have a store, mspcstore.com. And we're on Patreon, patreon.com/michaelscott. Become a Scott's Tot. $5 a month, you get mailbag episodes every month, you get ad-free episodes, you get all this bonus stuff that we talked about in the beginning. So thank you so much to our Scott's Tots, our supporters. I also want to shout out again, I know Lady Justice Brewing, we got our beer. The Ryan started the fire, smoked porter. It was so good, and it was just a lot of fun to be out there in Denver with you guys brewing it. So thank you to Lady Justice, we would love to get out in the world later this year. So talk to us if you have ideas of where we could do trivia in your town. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who does all of our artwork. This episode was recorded over video chat.
One quick note. You said that Philip Lipton's middle name was Halstead. I realized that that is almost certainly a reference to Halstead Sullivan, who is a writer on The Office. Similar to Randy Cordray, who is also often credited during The Office, and then, of course, Danny Cordray. But all of that aside, thank you for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us while we talk about The Office and hang out, draft talking heads, talk about movies, do trivia, all of that fun stuff. Just thank you for supporting us, for listening, and for hanging out and being part of the journey. It's a joy to do, and you guys make it all possible. So just know that we always and really, truly appreciate it. Take care. Stay safe. See you next week.
Pippity poppy, give me the zavada.
I'll still be talking about geishas long past their bedtime.
Funny how the houses are always colonials and the penises are always circumcised.
You know, I trained as one.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.